I'm going to read one verse today. I just want to use this one verse as we get started. We'll have a word of prayer and share some thoughts today. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the preaching of the word, Lord, I just ask this morning that you'll use me as your vessel this morning to share your precious word. Lord, may you take those things that you've laid upon my heart and mind and allow us to be able to learn from them, grow, become better followers of you as we look into your precious word. Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, may it be a productive time. Lord, I know there's a lot going on, not only in the church this morning, but in the world around us. And so, Lord, we want to be able to quiet our hearts and to be able to see what your word has for us, to challenge us once again. Lord, we pray if there's anyone here today that does not know you as a personal Lord and Savior, Lord, we pray today would be their day of salvation. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit touch their hearts and open their ears and their understanding to the love that you have for sinners such as us. And Lord, may it be an opportunity for us to not only grow together as Christians, but if we don't know you as Savior, come to a saving knowledge of you as well. Lord, we thank you. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. It's good to be preaching this morning. I spent 2 weeks in a row sitting and listening on Sunday morning while other people filled in and preached, and I appreciated their time and the messages that we heard the last couple weeks, but I really like to be right here. I prefer this particular vantage point from the sanctuary, and it's good to be back here this morning. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 tells us, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." I want to look at that. What does that mean? And we've looked at that verse maybe a few times over the last several years. But what does that mean? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I want to talk this morning about personal sacrifice, commitment. It's something that has been on my mind, and I think it's been on the mind of our leadership at the church over the last several months as well. We're looking for a renewed commitment to what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to give up of some things of my own or myself, take up my cross, the cross that Christ told us to take up, and follow him? There's some personal sacrifice, some commitment, something there that should cost us a little to be a Christian. As I was thinking about that and thinking about the thought here, that's not a very popular thing to say today. There's a general consensus among church leaders today that we will grow our churches by telling people what God can do for you, you know, like what you will get by being a Christian. Today's message is what does it cost you to be a Christian? And that's not a great selling point. So we already took our offering, so we're good with that. I'm kidding. The bottom line is that in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. It should cost us something. And that's what we want to look at today. Sacrifice. The Christian life takes sacrifice. And if you have the bulletin there, you can follow along on my outline there this morning. Number one, sacrifice is the result of commitment. Every relationship we have, every commitment that we make takes some sacrifice. It takes some time. It takes something from us. It will cost us something to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It takes us some type of cost to be in any relationship that we have. Talk about a marriage relationship, that type of husband and wife. And as we're dating and begin to form a relationship, we see things begin to change. As we get married, we find that usually our friendships change, our relationships change, our likes change, our desires change, things start to change. Destiny and I talk about this all the time, how much we've seen ourselves change in these years that we've been married. We look back and see, just as some examples here, I know when I was a teenager, I was extremely neat and organized. I kept my car vacuumed, washed and waxed all the time. My bedroom, I had shelves on it, looked like a little museum set up with little things all organized. It just looked, I was kind of nerdy that way. Would it surprise you if Destiny was not? You know, I remember seeing her bedroom as a teenager. You couldn't really tell if there was carpet in there or not. You know, it was just a mess. You know, it was just wow. Yesterday, we were in the midst of decorating, and we spent yesterday afternoon in particular decorating the house. And I was outside putting up some things. Desi was inside, and we decorated. And I was thinking about how much that has changed. I mean, Desi is very particular and organized about where everything goes. Hey, could you come in and bring your ladder and clean the top of these cabinets and wash off that and put this away and let's organize that. And it just became quite a job. It was like 6:30 last night and she's still scrubbing and cleaning and organizing and tidying up. And, you know, I've become a little more casual with that, to be honest with you. When I go home sometimes, I take off my coat and throw it over the back of a chair. You know, ooh, imagine that. I wouldn't have done that years ago. Now I do, you know. Desi, you open up our linen closet in the bathroom, and Desi has all the towels folded the same direction, you know, which I don't get, you know, whatever. You know, things are organized. You know, what have we done? We've changed as we've been married. That's just a small thing. But we've changed the things we do, the things we like, the things that we have in common. The things I used to do as a single guy, before I was married, I had season tickets to the Hershey Bears hockey games. You know, I did. I liked that a lot. Now I'm married. I've been to like 2 games the last 10 years, maybe, you know, maybe hardly ever, you know, very seldom do we have time for that. It's just something that has changed in my life. Why? Well, because I've made a commitment to a person. I've made a commitment to my spouse. And in the midst of making a commitment to my spouse, I've changed things. Things that I used to do. I don't go fishing very much anymore. In fact, I saw my fishing vest. I have a fishing vest with my fishing license on it. It says 2008. 8 was the last time I got a fishing license, you know. I haven't got a fishing license in years. Well, I don't go fishing anymore. I don't go to hockey games anymore. But Desi and I do other things now, right? We have other things that we do, and so our commitments have changed. I've sacrificed some things I used to do, well, I don't do anymore because of the relationship and the time that it takes to have a good marriage. You know, things change. What changes when we make a decision to follow Jesus Christ as our Savior? We like all the stuff we get out of it. Right? I mean, we know as believers in Jesus Christ and followers of the Word of God that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We are very keen on the fact that we will have a mansion prepared for me, eternity with Christ, streets of gold. We know about that stuff, right? We got all the good things. We got all that. We figured that out. But being a follower of Jesus Christ is more than what I can get out of him. What kind of a marriage would it be if my commitment to my spouse was, let's just see what I can get out of this without putting anything into it? It's a marriage, a relationship made for disaster. What's my commitment to Jesus Christ? I'm going to follow him. And so Jesus said in this verse, take up your cross, your cross, right? He didn't say pack your satchel, right? He didn't say grab all the good stuff and let's go. He said cross. Listen, this was before he hung on one. He's going to die on a cross at the end of this book of Matthew, right? The end of the Gospels, he's going to die on a cross. This was before he was crucified on a cross. He said to his followers, listen, I need you to take up your cross. Cross. That's an odd thing to say, right? They didn't know about that yet. When they met with Jesus, they didn't have a glowing cross in the back of their room or one on the front of their podium. or whatever it was they were. They didn't have crosses everywhere. The cross didn't have that meaning to them yet. Jesus hadn't died on a cross yet. And yet, in the midst of that, as Jesus himself is preparing to die on the cross, he tells his followers, I need you to take up your cross and follow me. There's some commitment there. There's some sacrifice there. It takes some effort on our part. I'm not talking about for salvation. You understand that? There's nothing that we do for salvation. Everything for salvation is already done. I'm talking about now that I'm a follower and believer of Jesus Christ, now that my faith and trust is in him, what does it cost me? Where's the sacrifice on my part? Where's the commitment on my part? I think it's too easy in 2016, 2017 to go and say, let's see what I can take from my faith. It gives me this, it gives me that, it gives me fire insurance. I don't have to worry about a lake of fire. It gives me a home in heaven forevermore. It gives me the avenue of prayer. It gives me this. And yet there's not a lot of what I'm giving to God or commitment to God. I don't want it to cost me too much. I don't want it to infringe on what I like. I don't want it to infringe on my lifestyle. I don't want it to change. Here's a key phrase. I don't want it to change who I am. I don't think ever before, just looking back through the cultures and the things that people said, today's mindset is, I don't want anything to change who I am, right? Nothing should change who I am. I'm not going to change who I am for anybody. Listen, that is in complete contradiction to the Word of God. The Word of God says, I'm supposed to be a new creature in Christ. The things of the past change, go away. I'm supposed to be a new person in Christ. Some things are supposed to change. The Bible's full of things that I'm supposed to be working on, adding, fixing. I'm supposed to be producing more fruit. And in order to produce more fruit, I need to get rid of some of the things that inhibit the growth of fruit, like sin. I'm supposed to put on, the Bible says, the full armor of Christ. And so it takes some work and some effort. Not, again, please, if you're visiting, not our salvation. Our salvation, praise the Lord, is done. We put our faith and trust in Christ. He paid it all. All to him I owe. We don't have to do anything for our salvation. I'm talking now that I'm a Christian. Am I content just to take what God gave me, the free gift of salvation, and sit back and coast? Am I content to take that free gift of salvation and just live a complacent Christian life? Or is there something to the fact when Jesus says, now, followers, now disciples, I want you to take up your cross and follow me? We saw the apostles when Jesus came to them and said to them, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. It changed their jobs, right? They left their homes. They left their careers. They left what they had been doing. They began to follow this new teacher, this rabbi, this master who they came to understand and fully embrace and understand the fact that he was the Messiah, the one that was sent. When he died upon the cross, remember those couple days in between his death and when he rose, they weren't sure what to do. In fact, some of them went back fishing, right? They got back on the boat. They didn't know what else to do. But then when they knew that Jesus Christ had indeed risen from the dead, it changed their lives forever. And they went out, and the book of Acts says they turned the world upside down. There was something worth living for, and in many of their cases, something worth dying for. There was a commitment to the one who had came, loved them, died for them, and rose again. And they were willing to live for him. And so I talked about this a couple weeks ago in my Sunday school class. We were focused on missions and all the different things with missionaries and our role in missions and all that. And for one particular lesson, we talked about sacrifice. It takes sacrifice to serve. It takes sacrifice to be a missionary. Right? You end up leaving your home and going to an unknown or foreign land of some sort, serving the Lord. You end up missing things like Christmases and birthdays, holidays, special events. You miss some of those things. Why? Well, because you're willing to sacrifice in order to do the work of the ministry. I think that's one level. Full-time Christian work. Those people who give their lives in service to God, that's one level of sacrifice. I think God demands a level of sacrifice for all of us. I think all of us should be busy enough serving the Lord that it costs us something. Something should change. Somehow we should be committed enough. Listen, Jesus Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for us. He came and rescued us when we were without hope. We had no chance to save ourselves. We were doomed to an eternity of damnation in a lake of fire. That was our lot. And Jesus Christ, in spite of that, came down from glory, died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for us. And without meaning to, sometimes, I think we're like, yeah, thank you for that, Jesus. We'll take that salvation there. We'll put that back for eternity. Thank you. And I'm going to go live my life the way I want to. I think it takes a sacrifice. I think it takes a commitment to live the Christian life for one who died for us. Every relationship takes commitment. And sacrifice is part of that. Number two, sacrifice is at the expense of self. What do we mean by sacrifice? What are we talking about? Pastor Wes, what are you talking about? Sacrifice. What do I do? What do I have to do? What do you think the Lord expects of me? Well, obviously that's different for each of us. But I think sometimes the sacrifice takes time. Right? It takes time. It takes time in a personal relationship. It takes time in a personal commitment. And it takes time out of our schedule to serve Jesus Christ. If we're going to be a follower, if we're going to be a disciple of His, then it takes time out of our lives. Things that we want to do, listen, get sacrificed in order to follow Him. That means there's things I don't do anymore or can't do. That means when I make a commitment to do something at church, I'm there. I'm going to do it. That means when I sign up to be a teacher, choir leader, piano player, singer, I have to put in the time necessary to do it because it takes time. I'm absolutely convinced today in 2016, in the 21st century, that listen, we want Jesus and the church to be part of our pie. You know, we have work, we have home, right? We have our hobbies, and we put Jesus in there too. Here's the thing I think we have a hard time with. Jesus wants to be the whole pie. He wants to be the whole thing. And we look at that and say, well, I got other things I want to do. Right? I got other things I need to do. Jesus says, I want all of you. And so Jesus should be the center of our home and the center of our job and the center of our hobbies and the center of everything we do, not just a slice. And I think we've become real good as Christians today at giving Jesus his time. Okay, this is Jesus' time over here. Okay, if this is Jesus' time, then who has the rest of the time? I guess I do. Right? I just think it's going to be a problem. Listen, as your pastor, I'm trying to warn all of us that we're going to stand someday at the judgment seat of Christ. And as we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is going to say, what happened to the time? Oh, well, I had a lot to do, Jesus. I gave you some of it. I gave you a little bit of it. I gave you a part of the pie. Jesus said, well, I died for you. I gave you everlasting life. Thanks for giving me a little piece of your time. Little piece. Thank you. I just think we need to be careful, folks. I'm convinced and I'm concerned, and it's been on my mind the last couple of weeks, that as Christians today, we are not committed to Christ the way we should be. We are just putting in as much as we think we need to. And everything else is taking away. I am convinced today that Satan's greatest tool in the church is our busy schedules. I think we are busier than we've ever been before as a culture and as a church. I'm not talking Cedar Hill, I'm talking the church in general. I think we're busier than we've ever been before. We have so much stuff going on. Our work schedules are more and crazier. Our activity schedules are wider. Our opportunities to go on vacation are greater, right? We're able to travel more. We're able to do a little bit more. We're able to see more. We're able to get involved in more. Our kids are involved in more. Everybody's involved in more. And the next thing you know, the one thing that really hasn't grown is the time we spend with God, or the time we spend in church, or the time we spend in prayer, or the time we spend in Bible study. Somehow that's shrinking. That's why I said, I quoted it a couple weeks ago, I'm going to quote it again, and it convicted me when the pastor said a number of weeks ago, we're supposed to be spending time in prayer. The Bible says that, we know that. We don't have time to pray the way we should. We don't, because we're too busy. So since we are supposed to pray, and yet we're too busy, that means something has to go. And it's not the prayer. So what are we giving up? I'm just asking that rhetorically for us to all ask ourselves, what are we giving up in order to spend time with Christ? What are we giving up? Maybe we need to give up sleep. Maybe, right? Get up early. Read the stories of John Wesley, the great circuit riding preacher over in England. Founder, of course, of the Methodist Church. John Wesley would get up often at 4 a.m. to start praying. And would pray for hours at a time. And then would ride his horse from town to town and preach 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a day. And go to bed at sometimes 11 or 12 and get up at 4. He lived his life with about 4 hours of sleep a night. How do you think he was able to preach as much as he preached, write the books he wrote, write the hymns he wrote? He wrote some along with his brother Charles. Start the Methodist Church. How did he do all these things? Well, he sacrificed sleep. Sometimes we have to do that. Maybe we have to sacrifice our hobby, change our job, sacrifice free time. I guess I remember growing up, I remember families in our church that used to take their week of vacation, and they would schedule their week of vacation for vacation Bible school week, and spend their entire week of vacation running vacation Bible school for the church. And when vacation Bible school was over, and I've worked vacation Bible school every year, right? I'm exhausted, right? When they were done vacation Bible school, they went back to work. You know what they sacrificed? Their vacation. They gave it up in order to see children come to Bible school and hear the stories of Jesus, learn about you. They gave up their vacation to serve Jesus. They gave up something. Maybe it's your time. I wrote down, maybe it's your desires. Maybe, you know, the things I want to do. I really want to. I really want to be. I really want to go. I really want to be a part. I really want to. Are we willing to sacrifice something to serve Jesus? Remember, he died for us. He gave us eternal life. He gave us eternity with him. What are we willing to sacrifice for him? Our time, our desires, maybe our comforts. Things that would be nice to, I would like to, be great if we could. Maybe someday we'll have. Number three, I wrote down, sacrifice is the example that Jesus gave us. Just perspective here again. When Jesus Christ came and was born on this earth, quite a maternity ward he was born into, right? Yeah. No, a barn. The story is familiar to us. I think it was a barn. I think it was laid in a manger. I think it was at night with the animals around and some shepherds around. No doctors, no nurses, no midwife, no nothing. But then, at least when he grew up, Jesus had quite a nice house to live in, right? Right? No, I think scripture tells us he had no place to lay his head. No house, no possessions. He went riding into Jerusalem on the day that we celebrate Palm Sunday, and he used his favorite colt for that, right? No, he had to borrow a colt for that, right? Had to go borrow that. Didn't have one of them either. Went out into the water, remember, to teach, because the crowds were pressing upon him. So he hopped in the yacht that he had, must have just been a nice cabin cruiser. No, that's right. He had to borrow a fishing boat to stand in, right? He had to borrow that. He had nothing. He did not have earthly possessions. He came and he lived in absolute humility. He came in the most humble of beginnings, lived the most humble of lives. And that's just the earthly perspective that we understand. How about the fact that he gave up the glories of heaven? Gave up sitting on the right hand of God the Father. Put on flesh and bones. Lived among us in the dust and the dirt and the pain and the agony and the criticisms and the attacks and the verbal barrages and all this stuff that came his way. And then died the most cruel of deaths. Falsely accused, beaten, and humiliated as he hung on the cross. Jesus sacrificed for us. I think he's just asking for some time from us. I think he's asking for a little more devotion from us. I think he's asking for just a little more effort from us. What are we willing to sacrifice for him? We don't want to give up anything. We want to have our cake and eat it too, you know? We want it all. We want to be able to just do what we want, to live our life, to just have fun. And then, oh, wait, it's 10:40 on Sunday. I better get to church real quick. Boop, punched in that hour. Good, done. Off again. Jesus says, I'm looking for a little more of you. Looking for a little more commitment here. Looking for a little more sacrifice. Looking for a little more devotion. We couldn't have an earthly relationship with the amount of time or effort we put into this. And yet this relationship is supposed to be so much more. Our walk with him, our devotion with him, our relationship with him should supersede everything else. And yet we're given it just the bare minimum. I wrote down number four, sacrifice is an expression of love, right? An expression of love. You do that? We understand the young man asks a young woman to marry him. He gives her a ring, right? It's been talked about, you know, the ring, I think back in the day, the ring was supposed to be like a 3 months salary, something like that. That's changed over the years, I'm sure. But why that amount? Why isn't it just a week's salary? Why is it like a 3 month salary or something like that? Why is it that much? Well, because that sacrifice is supposed to be an expression of how you feel, right? When I was a teenager, I uh, My dad always liked Volkswagens, and my first car was a Volkswagen, and had a lot of different Volkswagens. And when I was a teenager, me and my buddy were fans of the Volkswagen Scirocco. You've probably never heard me say that word in church before. The Volkswagen Scirocco. And most of you are like, what was that? That's a little sporty Volkswagen, you know, a little sport looking little car. And so, when I was about 17, 18, I had worked enough. I started working when I was 14. Imagine this. At 14, I started working at the local sawmill, cleaning out under the big blade. I'd never be allowed to do that today. You know what I mean? It's hard to believe I'm that old, but I'm already talking about how I worked this terribly unsafe job, but, OSHA would shut them down so fast. But anyway, I was cleaning out under these big blades when the sawmill closed at night and cleaning out all the dust and muck. And so I started working at 14. So I'm 17, 18 years old or so. And I have enough money. I bought a used Volkswagen Scirocco. You know, I was all proud of it. Perfect car, you know. Actually, it was a piece of junk. It never ran right. But for me, it was perfect. You know, it was exactly what I wanted. It was absolutely great. Gotta love all my assistants now, you know? There it is. Mine was green. You got the wrong color. Anyway, that's what I had. And so I was all proud of this car, right? I had this car. Yeah, I drove that car for a long time, a few years, and I met Destiny, my wife, to be. And I needed to buy Destiny a ring. But all my money had gone into what? The Scirocco, you know? Not just to buy it, but then to keep it on the road, because I'm telling you, it did not run well. It was a junky one. You know what I did? I sold the Scirocco and bought a Volkswagen Rabbit, because rabbits were much cheaper, because as you know, they're like real rabbits. There's tons of them everywhere, you know? So I bought a Volkswagen Rabbit and made a lot of money, a decent amount, off my Scirocco, and I went and bought her a ring. Why did I sell the car that I wanted so much? Well, because I loved Destiny more than the car, right? I was willing to give up the car. I always wanted that car. And here I am at like 19 years old already, dream shattered, you know, car sold. And I'm selling it to buy a ring to ask Destiny to marry me. It took a sacrifice, but it was an expression of the love that I showed. It's a couple of things the Lord asks of us. A couple of things. One of them is, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Do what I ask you to do. And he also says, take up your cross and follow me. It takes a little commitment, a little sacrifice, a little personal loss in order to follow. I just wanted to encourage you this morning to evaluate where we're at, each of us individually. Are we willing to give up something to follow Jesus? Some time, something I want, something I think I have to have, something I need, a car, you know, something that we think is important. Jesus said, listen, follow me. It's going to take a little bit, but it's going to be so worth it someday. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've had. Lord, I just pray that the message this morning was just an encouragement to what it takes to walk the Christian life. Lord, we thank you that the path to salvation, nothing we do on our end, we just believe and put our faith and trust in what you already did. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we do pray if there's one here today that does not know you as Savior, Lord, we pray they don't leave here today without making sure we can open the Word of God and show them what you have done already. Lord, may we put our faith and trust in the finished work of salvation. But Lord, the message today was geared primarily to the Christian. Lord, just a reminder that to whom much has been given, much is required. Lord, I think we're struggling on the much is required part. We've been given so much. Lord, I pray that there is a commitment to follow you, a willingness to sacrifice, a willingness to give up a little of ourself in order to follow you. The time it takes to get into the Word, to spend time in prayer, to be faithful in the ministry, to follow with our commitments that we've made in church and otherwise, to help our children and grandchildren grow in the things of Jesus Christ. Lord, I do pray that we're willing to have the commitment, that we're willing to give up things on ourselves, that we're willing to make some changes, that we're willing to get rid of sin. Lord, the things that hold us back. Lord, I pray we're willing to make a sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for the commitment you made in your expression of love to us. Lord, may we be able in a small way to duplicate that in our expression of love to you. Lord, we thank you for the time we've had today. Lord, I do pray that we'll take these thoughts, make them a part of our life. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.